This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, and I'm a small animal veterinarian and crazy cat lover. And you know that on this show, we like to explore the fascinating world of cats. So today, I have with me Michael Delgado. She is a PhD and a certified cat behavior consultant, as well as an author of some books to help our cats' lives be better. So we're going to talk with her today about the importance of play to our cats and how we can use play to make our cats be happier and healthier. So we'll be right back with Michael after a quick break.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. As I said, we have Michael Delgado today. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Cat.
So I am so happy to have you because obviously cats are close to my heart and your mission seems to be helping cats be happy and healthy. And I think that we have a lot to talk about.
Yes, I think we have a shared mission.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Yeah. As you mentioned, I'm a cat behavior consultant. I've been working professionally with cats for over 23 years now. So it's been a while. I got started in the sheltering world. So I worked at the San Francisco SPCA in their cat behavior program for about 8 years. And that was really where I got kind of immersed into the world of cats, cat behavior. I'd always loved cats, but I didn't really have like a plan when I was young to be a veterinarian or anything like that. It wasn't until later that I kind of ended up at the shelter, got into that world, and recognized how important behavior was because, you know, a lot of cats end up in shelters because of their behavior or a failure to bond with their owner or vice versa. And I just became very aware of how much cats could impact their owner's life and vice versa, like how much cats depend on humans to provide them with a good quality of life. From that, I decided to do private consulting where I'd go into people's homes, I meet with them on the phone or remotely, and help them solve a specific problem that they're coming to me with, whether it's urinating outside the litter box or not getting along with another cat in the home, keeping the owner up at night, et cetera. So really, you know, the last two decades of my life have been dedicated to helping cats by helping their humans understand them better and hopefully have everybody live harmoniously and have a great long life together.
So you're a passionate catvocate. We have lots of catvocates on here. And I think I'm understanding from you that it is as much about training the humans as the cats, or maybe more. What do you think?
I think it's more, actually. I mean, you know, if we look at the reasons that cats have behavior problems in the first place, a lot of their behaviors are perfectly functional. It's just that the environment is dysfunctional. They don't have a clean litter box. They don't have enough litter boxes. They don't have anything appropriate to scratch. They don't have anything to do all day. They've got, you know, maybe too many cats and not enough resources. So much of what I do is really just educating and training the human and helping them have a better understanding and hopefully more empathy for their cat situation, recognizing that we take a lot of choice away from our pets. And I'm not saying that we should just let our cats roam freely. I don't advocate that in any way. I'm definitely a proponent of indoor-only houses for our kitties. But we have to, at the same time, recognize the responsibility that comes with keeping cats indoors and restricting their choices, restricting where they can sleep, restricting what they can do, restricting what activities they can engage in, especially when we're thinking about, you know, what are known as species-specific or species-typical behaviors. These are behaviors that are very natural to animals. And for cats, that would include things like scratching and hunting.
Well, so I would imagine if someone seeks you out for help with an issue, they are ready to receive that help. But this show reaches out to everybody, everybody that loves cats. So I'm so excited that you're here to sort of educate my listeners at large about what it means to expect our cats to sort of conform to us. So I want to talk about play, though. Why do you think play is important?
Well, play is important because cats are hunters. And when you look at the reasons that cats play, the reasons that cats hunt, the things that motivate them to do both of these behaviors, we see an incredible amount of overlap to the extent that we can fairly conclude that play behavior is a replica of hunting behavior. It's just directed toward toys instead of birds and mice. Most of us don't want our cats to kill small animals in our homes, out of the home. We don't like to think about that aspect of our cat's behavior. We like to think of our cat as maybe a low maintenance, lazy lump on the couch. You know, you see lots of stereotypes about cats being lazy and not active. And I think we're missing the opportunity to let our cats be cats if we do not tap into that hunting instinct and give them an outlet for it. And so that's one of the reasons that I think play is so important. The other reason that I think play is so important is, you know, client after client, I see their cats having behavior problems. I also see the cat is extremely understimulated. The cat has a boring environment. They don't have much to climb. They don't have much to do. They're not experiencing a lot of mental challenges. And one of the things that clients always say when I ask them, you know, tell me about how you play with your cat. Oh, he doesn't really play. Or they'll say, yeah, there's toys all over the floor, but he ignores them. Over and over again, I would hear this from clients. He doesn't play. She doesn't like to play. And she's not really into play. Oh, she gets bored really quickly. And so people just stop trying. And with every one of these clients, you know, when I go into someone's home, I will bring toys with me so that in case they don't have any, because a lot of people do not even have what I consider an interactive toy. So that would be a wand with stick and a feather, or, you know, a string and something hanging off the end. And in every case, I could show people that, yes, your cat does play. You just don't know what play looks like, or you don't know how to get your cat to play, or maybe your expectations of what your cat needs are different from what they actually do need. So I saw this over and over again, and I'm thinking in my mind, you know, through the process of domestication, we've never asked cats to stop hunting. That's not a behavior that we've selected them for. We've just let it proceed, right? It's convenient for many people. Some people like the pest control aspect of their cat. And so there's no reason that every cat should not have the instinct to hunt and play. If you look at the literature in other species, from rodents to primates, including humans, we know that play serves benefits both in developing life skills, but also for things like reducing stress and anxiety and developing into a healthy human being. Like, we recognize that play is important for children. We don't always recognize that it's important for everybody else. So I do think it gets ignored. And, you know, to be fair, I think a lot of people at the end of the day, they get home from work, maybe busting out a wand toy is not high on their list of priorities. They'd rather sit on the couch and watch Netflix. But I am arguing in my book and advocating for cats constantly with my clients and pretty much anybody that will listen to me, that even just a few minutes of play a day are very important to their well-being and can help them be a happier cat and more well-behaved, right? So I'm dealing with the people who are having behavior problems, but just because your cat isn't having behavior problems doesn't mean that they don't have needs for play, mental stimulation, the type of environment that helps them be a cat.
You know, I think that we underestimate how much the humans need the play. I mean, think about how many people spend time watching cat videos. It's extremely fun to play with cats.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I think if we can get this word out, people will realize that it's fun and then everybody benefits. So yeah, I think this is awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, I actually, you know, I play with my cats every day. We have a routine in our household, and that's one of the things that's really helped us keep it on a daily thing is having a routine. So I certainly break from the routine, and I work from home. So there's times where I'm taking a little stretch break from my desk, and I'll go grab a toy and play with one of my cats for, you know, just 2 or 3 minutes, if that. But we do have like a set time in our household where we play with our cats every night. It varies. Sometimes they want to play the full 30 minutes that we allot for play. And sometimes they're done after 15 minutes. We kind of just go with how they're responding and, you know, how many toys we have to introduce. But, I do think that it's fun. Like, it makes me laugh. My cats do the goofiest things. Like, they're running around, sliding around, doing backflips and goofy faces. Like, it really does also add levity to my life to watch them play. I get great enjoyment out of that. And I really hope that other people do too.
So like you, I hear frequently in my exam room, oh, well, she's kind of a couch potato. And I am always skeptical about that. So have you ever seen a cat that truly did not want to play?
No. And in fact, I did have one client and they're like, oh, she's really hard to get to play. And I was like, okay, well, let me try. And they were right. It took probably 15, 20 minutes before the cat made a move. And we were really like trying. But then it was like, okay, I think we got the technique. I had one client, she was so sweet. She was a senior living in a care facility with her cat, and her cat was 17. And she contacted me because she was worried that her cat wasn't playing. And her cat had some, you know, minor health issues for a 17-year-old. She was reasonably healthy. And what we found was that her cat, and I wrote about this in the book, her cat really liked it when we moved a little wand toy between the couch cushions. So she liked to pursue the toy when it kind of disappeared between the cushions. And that got the cat really happy and excited and pouncing on the toy. Was she doing backflips? No, she wasn't playing like a kitten or a juvenile cat. She was playing like an older cat, like a senior cat. And so when we're thinking about the cat we're playing with, we have to consider like their age, their energy level, and what type of play they like. And I think in people's minds, they just think the cat should be like racing around the house in kind of zoomies mode. And really play, if we think about kind of tapping into the hunting behavior, is much more cognitive for cats. Cats are ambush predators. So they spend quite a bit of time sneaking up on their prey, watching, waiting for the perfect moment to pounce. And when we're playing with them, we can take advantage of their ambush style hunting mode and move the toy very slowly, hide it behind things, kind of like a mouse would maybe try to hide under some leaves or behind a tree stump, and mimic those movements and bring out that kind of stalking cognitive aspect in our cat. So it doesn't have to be intense physical activity to have benefit. We know that cognitive challenge for captive animals is just as beneficial as physical activity. So we're trying to get some of both. But when you have an older cat, they may just be kind of rolling around on their back, grabbing the toy with their paws and putting it in their mouth and chewing on it a little bit. And that's play. They might be watching and waiting. And then when they do pounce, maybe it's just pawing at the toy. So really, I think people need to understand, like, sometimes they think their cat's not engaged because the cat isn't running around moving, but their cat is actually watching the toy very carefully and waiting for the perfect moment to pounce. And they're not recognizing that as play. So what I hope is that people will kind of see there's a wide range of play behavior in cats, and it's going to depend on the individual cat to an extent. And I hope that in my book, I give people enough techniques and also ways to recognize play behavior that they see that, oh, okay, I thought my cat didn't like play, but actually he does, or actually I just need to move the toy like this, or actually I just need some new toys. And then hopefully more people will enjoy the play. They'll see their cat enjoys the play and everybody's happy.
Yes, I love that. So I want to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and talk a little bit more about maybe some types of toys and some tips that my listeners could try at home right now. So we'll be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. Michael Delgado and I are discussing the importance of play for our cats. And so she has a book. We're going to get her to tell us more about the book. But we were talking about how to recognize when your cat is playing. And I want to delve into a little bit more about toys. There are so many kinds of toys. And I want to talk to my listeners about how to recognize which ones your cat likes. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. When I'm thinking about toys, I mean, one thing is just thinking about what type of prey cats naturally hunt, right? And their preferred prey tend to be things like birds, small rodents, some mice, and lizards, common like choice of cats, bugs. If you've ever lived with a cat and a fly has gotten into your house, I don't know about the rest of your listeners, but my cats are like all on full alert, like just from a tiny fly. So we can mimic prey with the right types of toys. And honestly, I think a lot of toys are really marketed more towards humans than cats. So they're, you know, very like maybe overly fancy, or maybe they're cheap and that's what they think. People don't want to spend a lot of money on a toy, which is, you know, can be fine. But I like to kind of have a variety of toys and experiment and see what my cat likes because, well, one, cats do get bored of the same toy over and over again. That's been documented in research by Dr. John Bradshaw. And so we know that you can't just have one toy and expect that your cat will likely enjoy playing with only that toy for their entire life. Certainly there are cats that are very devoted to one type of prey or one type of toy, but most cats are going to need some variety. And even within a play session, you might go through, I mean, sometimes we go through 5 or 6 toys in a 20-30 minute play session because cats do get bored and they need something different. So, you know, we'll start with think like prey. And then, you know, I certainly have some favorites, but it really depends on the cat. I really love the DeBird. It's a wand toy. It's got a stick with a long string and some really stiff feathers on the end that spin around and kind of make a whirring sound like birds flapping their wings. So that's a great one. But, you know, I really think that sometimes it's more how you move the toy than the toy itself. So when I'm, recommending specific toys to people, I say get a few different ones, see what your cat likes. Try to get toys that are relatively well-made so you don't have to replace them immediately. And also get ones that have exchangeable lures. So the lure is the part on the end of the toy. So there's usually like a little hook and you can have feathers on the end or maybe a little mouse on the end or maybe a little bug on the end. So to me, that's the like, once you have a good wand with a good string or wire, then it's really all about what's on the end. You can use things laying around your house and attach them to a wand toy. I often, if we're doing any sewing or anything in our house, I'll take a little strip of fabric and tack it on the end of a toy. I've put green beans on the end of a toy. I've put strips of paper on the end of a toy. These are all things around your house that you can transform into a cat toy very easily, a temporary cat toy, or if your cat really likes it, a long-term cat toy. But I just encourage people to think creatively, always making sure that safety is being followed. You know, we don't want any obstructions in the intestines or anything. So you want to make sure they're not things that your cat can choke on or get stuck in them or eat that are too small for them to be safely playing with. But really, for the toy, the most important part is it's interactive. There's a human who is moving a stick with a string and a thing on the end, and there's a cat, right? That is, to me, what I'm talking about when I talk about play. It's not leaving a bunch of pom-poms around the house or ping pong balls. That's great to do. You should definitely give your cat things to play with on their own, but it is really about the interactive toy. Other than that, like, get something that's comfortable for you. I like a long handle. I like a padded handle, but not all of my toys are like that. So I like to have a variety. So I think as far as, you know, getting the toys, the other thing I will say most pet stores have a terrible selection of cat toys. So I like to look on Etsy. There's some really nice stuff going on Etsy, and certainly on some of the online marketplaces, you can access things that your pet store may not carry. I don't know why pet stores don't have better cat toys, but I just find that I'm sorely disappointed whenever I go to a pet store to try to find a new toy for my cats. So I just go to Etsy, where there's lots of creative and cool stuff going on.
Yeah, I love Etsy. And then you get to, usually you get to talk to the person that made that toy. I mean, you know, it just feels a little more artistic. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you're buying it from a cat lover, right? Not some big corporation that's just hoping that you'll buy a bunch of, you know, stuff from them, but really someone who has a passion for cats and devoted themselves to making products. So yeah, I agree.
It's kind of like the shop local thing, except you're probably not local on Etsy, but the same basic premise. So, okay. So I've got another weird question. Does play need to change or be modified in a single cat home versus a multiple cat home?
Excellent question. Yes, I would say in most cases, yes, because with a multi-cat home, there is going to be some competition over the toys, or there could even be some intimidation. And one thing that I would hear from a lot of my clients who have multiple cats is, oh, Fluffy loves to play, but Felix just likes to watch Fluffy play. And I was like, I think that maybe Felix is a little intimidated by Fluffy, or Fluffy's hogging the toys, or maybe being too exuberant in their play, and your other cat would rather just stay out of the fray. So I do recommend separating cats, or having one person per cat, having cats in separate areas while you're playing with them, so that everybody does have the opportunity to play. And keeping in mind too, that sometimes, you know, your cats have a natural rhythm that may not fit into when the other cats want to play. So maybe you have to play more with one cat in the morning because that's kind of when they're naturally active, whereas another cat is more frisky in the evening. So there is some kind of personalization needed, and separation, just monitoring, making sure they're not colliding into each other and causing fights or anything like that. So we want the multi-cat household to be harmonious. And of course, they might have different preferences when it comes to toys. So you could have a toy in each hand, and if you're coordinated, you could play with two cats at the same time, but often it's easier to play with them separately.
So I think it's important, though, for my listeners to realize this is not a chore. This is going to be something that's really fun. But there may be days when you have to, you know, you kind of have to prioritize it, or, you know, because that's life, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, certainly I know we're all busy, and the last thing that anybody wants is more like obligations. However, I do, you know, I really hope that people enjoy the process and that it's rewarding for them. I do think there's a benefit to doing things on a routine, because you can make a commitment to doing it. But I also feel like any time you play with your cat is better than not playing with them. So I don't want people to think if like one night they're too tired, they should just give up, right? You just get back on the horse and play again the next day. So, you know, that said, we do have obligations to our companion animals. We adopted them. they didn't just show up in our house and decide they want to live with us. I know that does happen occasionally, but we kind of got into an agreement like, yes, I am your caretaker. I am going to provide you with food and medical care and water and shelter. And to me, the aspect of the, you know, the environment and the mental stimulation and the enjoyable things for them to do is really just as important as providing them with a healthy diet and a vet check once a year at least. And to me, that's the part that gets neglected the most frequently. It's just it's treated as extraneous. It's treated as like beyond the basics. And to me, the healthy environment, the environment that allows cats to express natural behaviors, again, like scratching, hunting, climbing, hiding, are just as important as the food and water. And hopefully people feel like pleasure and proud, you know, they're proud of the fact that they take great care of their cats and make them happy. You know, but I get it. I know that people are overworked, feel overwhelmed at times and tired. And maybe that's the day that you sit on the couch and throw some mice across the room, or you set up a food puzzle for your cat, or you put on a robo toy, put on a video, you know, a cat video on your TV with birds and squirrels for them to watch. There's definitely other ways to entertain our cats and keep them happy and mentally stimulated. But at the end of the day, really, you know, 3 minutes a day of play is hopefully not too much to ask for your cat.
I agree. And I think you'll be glad that you did for your own mental health. Okay. So one more question. Can you have too much play?
That's an interesting question. I do occasionally have clients that say, oh, he gets so wound up from the play that I feel like we shouldn't play with him at all. And to me, I see the energy that cats have as not something you should squash, like you should give them an outlet for it. And there are some cats that are really intense. They need a ton of activity. They need a ton of mental stimulation. These are cats that usually do well with like being on a harness and going outside and having a running wheel and doing training in addition to the play. So sometimes we have to think about, certainly if we're ending play before the cat's tired or the cat seems wound up, it's like we can slow down the play at the end, give them a snack or meal after the play to help them kind of go into that natural cycle of hunting, killing, eating, and grooming and sleeping. And, you know, if your cat is, you know, has like hip problems or a heart condition, you should always check with your veterinarian about like how intensely you can play with your cat. But I do think that I don't think that it makes cats misbehave to play with them. If anything, it can get them like maybe in a mode where it's like, oh, I need more, like I need more stimulation. But I don't think it's a cause of problems. I think it's just a symptom of a bigger issue, which is usually like a cat who just needs more than your average cat. And I've definitely had some clients that have kind of a cat plus. Sometimes they're a hybrid, but sometimes they're just a very young, smart, active cat that will get into trouble if they don't have enough to keep them busy. So I can't think of a time where I've recommended less play for people. I've just often recommended changing when they play or how they wrap up the play session or what they do in addition to play. Keeping in mind that, you know, cognitive challenges like food puzzles or problem-solving opportunities like training are going to be fatiguing or tiring in different ways, right? Just like when we're at work and maybe we're not moving around a lot, but we're thinking about a problem all day, you still feel physically tired at the end of that day. So we should be providing both the cognitive and the physical activity for our cats.
Excellent. Okay, so tell us about your book specifically.
Yeah, so I wrote this book because I just found myself having, again, same conversation over and over again with clients and trying to get people motivated to play. I had recently written a scientific review of the play literature related to cats. So myself and a colleague and friend, Julie Hecht, wrote a paper that we published in Applied Animal Behavior Science in 2019. Shortly after that, I had given a talk on play behavior, and my friend Lily Chin, who's an amazing artist, had taken a bunch of notes during my talk and did these really cute sketches, and she sent it to me, and I was like, oh, can we do a handout? And so we did this handout. It was very popular. It's been translated into, I think, 13 languages now, and it's available for free on my website, whatyourcatwants.com. So all this kind of play stuff that's been stewing in my brain for several years, it all kind of came to a head, and I was like, ooh, I think that this could be a cool book. And I was also, you know, all the literature was kind of fresh in my mind. I already had a book agent, and I just hadn't like come up with the perfect book idea for me. And she was very patient in waiting for me to come up with an idea. And when I reached out to her, she's like, I love this idea. And then we go through the whole, you know, you pitch your book, you have to write a big proposal, you know, have to write a couple chapters and send it to all of the book companies. And that was it. So I signed, you know, the book deal. It was a while ago. It feels like forever. Like, you know, the book, I think I started writing it in 2021, and then I submitted the final version of the draft about a year and a half ago, and now it's finally about to come out. So the process of writing a book is pretty intense. It just takes a long time to go through the editing and getting the illustrations, and then it's going to get laid out, and you know, you're in a line to get printed. And certainly after the pandemic, there were a lot of backlogs and supply chain issues that were slowing down the process. But yeah, it's been, you know, it was really fun to, again, kind of take a deep dive into the scientific literature, but also tap into my experiences with clients and my own cats and just kind of what I've observed working with cats and their owners over the past two decades. And to me, like, play is joyous. I wanted this book to be fun. I want it to be scientific, but fun to read and accessible, and really a celebration of cats, and hopefully really helping people just feel comfortable experimenting with their cats and having fun with their cats, and maybe seeing their cat in a new light where they can really appreciate that hunting behavior is a part of their cat's behavior, even if they've never hunted anything in their life. And again, just the excitement and joy that your cats experience when they're playing to me is, I hope people take that away from the book.
It's kind of contagious to watch a cat be happy. So yes, okay, the book is called Play With Your Cat. And to review what she said about the handout, correct me if I'm wrong, whatyourcatwants.com, right?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, so this has really been great. I probably could have kept talking about this, but we probably need to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was great to talk to you.
And of course, thank you to my amazing producer, Mark Winter, and my loyal listeners, which you just make it worthwhile. I just feel so good about educating everyone on how to have happy and healthy cats. So everybody go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.